Colossians chapter 4, verse 7. It's the focus of our study today. Please bear with me. Somebody shared something with me this week that I didn't want, and so my voice is a little messed up this morning, but that's okay. Pray for me that God will get the glory, right? Colossians chapter 4 and verse 7. Today we're going to look at minding your ministry. It's our last message on this series of the book of Colossians. Would you stand with me as we read from the Word of God, Colossians 4 and verse 7. Tychicus, a beloved brother. This is Paul's closing word to this church at Colossae. And he says, Tychicus, a beloved brother, faithful minister and fellow servant in the Lord, will tell you all the news about me. I'm sending him to you for this very purpose, that he may know your circumstances and comfort your hearts. With Onesimus, a faithful and beloved brother, who is one of you, they will make known to you all things which are happening here. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you. With Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, about whom you received instructions, if he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice. These are my only fellow workers for the kingdom of God who are of the circumcision. They have proved to be a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a bondservant of Christ, greets you always, laboring fervently for you in prayers, that you may stand perfect and complete in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has a great zeal for you, and those who are in Laodicea, and those in Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, and Demas greet you. Greet the brethren who are in Laodicea and Nymphas, and the church that is in his house. Now when this epistle is read among you, see that it is read also in the church of the Laodiceans, and that you likewise read the epistle from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This salutation by my own hand, Paul. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Amen. Again, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you. We thank you for your great love. We thank you for your presence here today. We thank you for your word that we have this opportunity to open and to grow in you and to know you, Lord. I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts to receive your word, that we may glorify you by the lives that we live. Father, move freely among us today. And I pray your will be done. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Mind your ministry. Mind your ministry, the title of the message this morning. And today our focus is going to be on one verse, and that is verse 17, where Paul said to Archippus, take heed to your ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it. This is the focus verse. This is the closing instructions as we finish this book of Colossians. And today, this is the challenge that I want to leave you with as we close out to everyone present, that you would very simply mind your ministry. And if you're going to mind your ministry today, number one, you're going to have to see your ministry. Paul began, and we read a long list of names there that Paul mentioned. He began by listing these guys that he had been working with, successful ministers, people who had been faithful in the Lord. And he goes down this list. Tychicus, he named as a faithful minister. Onesimus, a beloved brother. Aristarchus, a fellow prisoner. Epaphras, laboring for them fervently in prayer. All fellow workers in the kingdom of God, Paul said, all these guys have proven to be a help or a comfort to me. But then he gets to this one guy. There's always one guy in there. He gets to this one guy named Archippus. And he says, oh, by the way, old Archippus, you tell him this. You tell him to take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord. I don't know if he was letting his ministry slip or what, but Paul felt it needful to challenge this man. Take heed to your ministry. That word take heed is two English words, but the Greek word is one word, and it's blepo, and it means to see. We look at this and we think, well, this guy is supposed to guard his ministry, but it's not. That word just very simply means to see, to be able to see. So he's saying, Archippus, see the ministry that God has laid before you. The danger was that he would live his life and be where he was and never even acknowledge, hey, God has a reason, God has a purpose, I have a ministry where I am. That was the danger. And as I thought about that, I thought, well, isn't that the way we are today? Don't we need, doesn't your average Christian need to see his ministry? Need to realize that you have a purpose. And that purpose is that God has given you a gift that you can use to minister in the kingdom of God. Every one of you have a gift. You go to 1 Corinthians, there's a list of gifts. 1 Corinthians 12 and 13 mentions a lot. But there are teachers, those who are gifted to be able to speak and instruct others. There are helps. Did you know help is a gift? It is. Helps, there's the gift of help. Those people that can see somebody doing something, they can run up and come up alongside of them and not take over, but just come beside them and say, let me give you a hand with that. And there are people that are really good at it. There's administrations, the gift of administrations. And read about it. I would challenge you. Read 1 Corinthians 12 and 13, okay? Whole list of gifts there. Some of those gifts have been done away with, but most of them are still here. A lot of them are still here. There's the gift of administration. You know what that is? The gift of administration is the skill. It literally was the skill with which a captain of a ship would guide that ship on its course. As it applies to us, it's managerial skills. You know, some people are just managers. Have you ever noticed some people just seem to lead and manage and they do it very well? That's a God-given gift, a ministry, if you will. Romans chapter 12, read about the gifts there. Did you know there's a gift of encouragement? You ever been around somebody that's always happy? Doesn't it make you sick? How you doing? Fantastic. God is so good. Well, it's a gift. You know? I'm just kidding. I love to be around people like that. I do. You know? But it's a God-given gift. They're always smiling, always happy. They always have something encouraging to say. There's a gift of giving. You know? Do you realize giving is a gift? Some people are just good at it. I've been blessed because people have given things to me through the year, just blessed me. Numerous times I've been in Russellville and been in a restaurant and having dinner and it come time to pay and I turn up and I ask for the check and the waiter says, oh, somebody's already got that. Really? Really? They're using their gift of giving. And you know what's really interesting is very seldom do I actually know who to go and thank because they don't let me know that they did it. I just know somebody did. But you know, I think, what a blessing. What a blessing. And I want you to realize, everyone present, whether you're on the floor or the balcony, you have a God-given gift. And the first challenge today is, figure out what your gift is. You're not here to breathe air and take up space. Okay? You're here to exercise that gift, whatever it is. And did you know you can desire certain gifts? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 31, we're told, earnestly desire the best gifts, which are what? Faith, hope, and love. You know, those are spiritual gifts. Some people, no matter how rough the waters get and how big the storm gets, their faith, they just hold on. It's a gift. Some people just know how to love. You know? The reason they know, because it's a gift. My challenge, again, as we close out this study, figure out what your gift is. Oh, Brother Doug, I don't have a gift. Yes, you do. Don't cop out that way. You have a gift. Now, it may not always be a gift that you use inside the church. You say, most people look and they say, well, there's pastors and there's deacons and there's teachers. And you know, I'm not any of those things, so I don't have a gift. No. No. Gifts are not just to be exercised inside the church. Gifts are to be exercised out there, so that the world can see the glory of our great God. Just because you don't have an official title in church does not mean that you do not have a gift and a position. Challenge number one. See your ministry. Why are you here? Okay? Everybody got that? Challenge number one. Repeat after me. See my ministry. One more time. See my ministry. See my ministry. Look around. Get that, okay? You are here for a reason. Number two, the source of your ministry. If you'll notice what he told, he said, take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord. That word receive is an interesting word also. It means to accept an assignment. To accept an assignment. Do you realize if you're a child of God, you have accepted an assignment from God? And you are on assignment from God. Now you may think, now wait a minute, Brother Doug, I haven't accepted any assignment. Yes, you did. If you're a child of God, when you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, you became a man or a woman on assignment. Well, no, Brother, you don't understand. I just wanted not to go to hell. I wanted to go to heaven. But listen, when you called upon Jesus Christ, you made Him the Lord of your life. That means you're bought and paid for by the blood of Jesus Christ. He owns you. He has called you to a mission. And He gave you a gift. The gift that He has seen fit for you to have. I love 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 11. It says, and it's talking about, it's the whole subject is gifts and spiritual gifts. And he says, but one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individual as He wills. What's he saying? He's saying, you got the gift God wanted you to have. Okay? You got the gift that God wanted you to have. Now, there may be a lot of you here today thinking, boy, I wished I was a teacher. But you didn't get that gift. Boy, I wish... excuse me. Boy, I wish I was a singer. You ever thought, I wish I could play the piano like Beth? You know, you ever thought that? But it's not your gift. Listen, God gave you the gift He wanted you to have. And I've also figured out, you know, this is not a democracy. You didn't get a vote in your gift. This is a theocracy, a God-ruled kingdom. And He chooses the gift that is right for you. And I want you to know this. The gift that you have is just as valuable as any gift anybody else has, because it came from God. Amen. All right? See, so many people are like, well, I'm not the pastor, so I'm not important. No, you're terribly, terribly wrong. I'm not the teacher, so it's not a big deal. No, you're terribly, terribly, terribly wrong. We're compared in the book of 1 Corinthians, I think it's 12, that we're the body of Christ. And who's the head? Who's the head in that body? Come on. It's Jesus, absolutely. Let's do it all together. Who's the head? Jesus. Jesus, absolutely. So, what is the most important part of the body? The head. The rest of us, we're just parts and pieces of that same body. Oh, there are some hands, some arms, some legs, some feet. But I want you to know every part of that body is God-given and it's important because God gave it. That includes you. The biggest problem in Christianity today, people thinking, I'm not a big deal. I'm not a big deal. Well, you're not. Neither am I. None of us are a big deal, but the God we serve is a very big deal. And He has given you a gift that is a very big deal. And I want you to know, you're accountable. Do you know that? You are accountable for your gift. You go to Matthew chapter 25. And you read about the parable of the talents. This master was leaving. And he was going out of town to a far country. And he called his servants together. To one servant he gave 5 talents. To another servant he gave 2 talents. To another servant he gave 1 talent. He told them all, occupy, take care of this until I come back. But he said, I'm coming back. I'm coming back. I looked at this stuff wondering, you know that guy that had 5 talents? And you know the result of it? He used those 5 talents and made 5 more talents. And I thought, you know, that's those smart aleck people who are good at everything. You know, have you ever known people that it didn't matter what it was, they were just good at it? Yeah, it just kind of make you feel about this big, especially if you're a 1 talent guy and you're not very good except for one thing I can do, you know. But the bottom line is this, the 5 talents used his money that the master gave him. 2 talents used his money that the master gave him. The 1 talent didn't do anything. He just buried the money that the master gave him. The master came back. It says there was a day of accounting. And you know how the story goes. Oh, the 1 talent guy made excuses, you know. Oh, you know, I knew you were a hard man and I was afraid, so I buried my talent. I want to ask you today. God has given you a gift. What have you done with it? You may be an encourager. Are you encouraging? You may be a help. The gift of helps. Are you helping? You may be an administrator. Are you administrating? Are you using that gift? It came from God and He thought it important enough to give it to you. Now use it. Because one of these days there's going to be a reckoning. The Bible says that we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he has done, whether good or bad. I want you to understand today, it doesn't matter who you are, God has entrusted you. He's placed you where you are. He's giving the gifts He wants you to have so that you may use those gifts for His glory. Now, quit making excuses. Are you familiar with the phrase, fisher cut bait? Old fisherman's story, right? The idea is, be useful. And you know, if you're not fishing, if you're not taking in a haul of fish, then you should be cutting bait. If you're not cutting bait and you're not fishing, then maybe you should be on the shore and quit taking up space in the boat. That's the idea there. Listen, I'm not saying that anybody here needs to go somewhere. That's not my point. My point is, you are using up or wasting, if you will, a gift that God has very thoughtfully given to you. If you're not using that gift, one day you're going to stand accountable. Yes, it's time for you to fish or to cut bait. Quit making excuses. Then finally, we get to the success of your ministry. Are you a successful minister? Do you exercise your spiritual gifts? If you'll notice here, it said at the end of that verse 17, that you may fulfill it. Take heed to the ministry which you have received in the Lord, that you may fulfill it, that you may finish it, that you may accomplish it. You started it, now finish it. Finish what you started. You see, all too often people walk down that aisle and they give their hearts to Jesus. They call upon Jesus for salvation and they get to going and get to doing, and it lasts 4 or 6 months. And they say, man, this is hard. I don't want to do this anymore. I quit. No. No, that's not what God has called you for. They fall by the wayside pretty soon. They don't come to church anymore. First thing you know, they're absolutely useless. Too often, we quit. We don't see things through. You know? Beth and I, as many of you know, we moved last the end of October, and we moved locally here. And there's this, the house that we live in, there's this really cool room that is a tool room. And when we looked at the house, I said, yep, that's what I want. I want that place where I can put my tools and, you know, organize my saws and wrenches and screwdrivers. And boy, you know, I had this big dream, right? Well, we were moved in at the end of October. And this is almost the 1st of April. And guess what that room looks like? It's not such a big deal, because what I did is I took all the tubs and the boxes that had my tools in them and I just stacked them in there. And I left them. And now I'm operating on, every time I pass by that room, I look in there and I think, no, not today. No, not today. I'm going to do that one of these days. And I've told Beth, you know, one of these days, I'm gonna finish that out. I'm gonna get my tools organized, get it set up. And I don't know how many times I've told her that. Well, right now I'm on what, 4 months, 5 months, going on 5 months, and it's not done yet. Why? Because I got moved in, and I quit. Unfortunately, that's the way we treat God very often. Oh, we get to go and we get excited about something. It sounds real good. And oh, here we go. I'm all for it. First thing you know, it runs into work. Gets hard. And we decide that's a bigger job than I planned on. So we quit. And it goes undone. Everybody's attention for just a moment. God has not called you to quit. Okay? God does not call quitters. You know, you say, well, Brother Doug, I have good reason that I'm not serving. Really? Really? Yes, some folks in my church made me mad. Bless your heart. Listen, I'm a firm believer. If you can't serve the Lord where you are, you need to find a place that you can serve the Lord. Okay? And I'm not telling anybody they need to leave Victory, or if somebody's visiting Victory from somewhere else, I'm not saying you need to leave where you are. I'm saying you need to find a place you can use your gifts and get on it. Okay? God has not called you to be a quitter. Paul said in Philippians chapter 4, verse 13, he said, I press toward the goal for the prize of the high calling, the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. You can see it. Paul was an athletic guy. He liked making athletic comparisons. And you can just see the picture Paul's painting. It's this runner that he sees the finish line. He doesn't see the crowd on the side of the road. He sees the finish line. He doesn't see that he has to run uphill. He sees the finish line. He doesn't see the hot sun that's bearing down on him. He sees the finish line. You see, that's what we, as God-called ministers, need to do. We need to plant our eyes on the finish line. And as long as we are drawing breath upon this earth, we need to be faithfully executing the office in which God has called us to. That's our responsibility. You say, "Oh, Brother Doug, I would use my gift, but I just don't have time." That's my favorite, one of my favorite at all times. "I just don't have time." Did you know that you have just as much time as anybody else here in this building today? That's right. We start at 12 o'clock. We've got 24 hours. If God blesses us with a full day, everybody in here has 24 hours every day. Okay? "Well, you don't understand, Brother Doug. I've got this busy, busy job." And well, you have chosen to spend certain amount of your time on that busy, busy job. And that's fine. It's good to work. Amen? Don't get me wrong. But I want you to understand, you're choosing how you spend your time. "Brother Doug, I've got kids who play baseball, basketball, football, and soccer. And boy, as soon as they get out of school, Brother Doug, we're on the road." Wonderful. I love to see kids play balls and all that. That's all fine. But I want you to understand, you are choosing to spend your time taking your kids to those things. Okay? We are all accountable for the way we spend our time. God gives us all the same amount. Now, don't come back and say, "Well, I just don't have time to serve the Lord." That is the most lame excuse you will ever come up with. Okay? God has called you to ministry, to use that gift. Now, use it. Bottom line, this study has been about more. Having more of Jesus. Needing more of Jesus in our relationship. But if you want more of Jesus, you're going to have to give Jesus more of you. Okay? If you want more of Jesus, you're going to have to give Jesus more of you. How much does Jesus get every day? Are you using the gifts that God has given to you? If not, man, why not start today? I mean, let's face it, we all get off track from time to time. We do. Preachers are just like everybody else. We all get off track from time to time. But hey, let's start today. Let's make a commitment. God has me here for a reason, and that reason is to use the gift that He's given me. I'm going to use it. I'm going to use it. You may be here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior. I want to challenge you this. I want to challenge you. Think about where you're going when this life's over, because this life will end one day for you. And you will face eternity. Jesus Christ gave His life upon Calvary to pay your sin debt so that you might have eternal life. And now the ball's in your court. He lays it out. He offers you eternal life. In exchange for your guilt and your sin, He gives you forgiveness. Will you be saved today? Maybe you're here and you need to follow the Lord in scriptural baptism because you've never took your public stand. Let's take that step today. Okay? Let's come as a candidate for baptism. Maybe you're here and you've been visiting Victory for a while and you know Victory's where God wants you. Come join. Start using your gifts. Whatever the Lord leads you to do in this invitation, just do it. Our Father in heaven, thank You for Your word. Thank You for this study, Lord. And it has been a blessing to me as a pastor and as Your child. Father, I do need more of You. And oftentimes I get sidetracked, but Lord, You are the priority. And I want to remember that. Father, I pray that in this invitation, Your will be done. You knowing every need, every spiritual need, Lord, I pray that You'll give us a heart to respond to Your leading In Jesus' name I pray.